A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus passed through towns and villages, teaching as he went and making his way to Jerusalem. Someone asked him, "Lord, will only a few people be saved?" He answered them, "Strive to enter through the narrow gate, for many, I tell you, will attempt to enter, but will not be strong enough. After the master of the house has arisen and locked the door, then will you stand outside knocking and saying, 'Lord, open the door for us.' He will say to you in reply, 'I do not know where you are from.' And you will say, 'We ate and drank in your company, and you taught in our streets.' Then he will say to you, 'I do not know where you are from. Depart from me, all you evildoers.' And there will be wailing and grinding of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, and you yourselves cast out. And people will come from the east and the west and from the north and the south, and will recline at table in the kingdom of God. For behold, some are last who will be first, and some are first who will be last." There exists in the church of modern times somewhat of a debate. The extremes of that debate or way of looking at things are, on one hand, those who say that heaven and hell are exclusive of one another. In other words, it's all heaven, and there cannot be any hell. God's mercy, his goodness, precludes the presence of anyone in hell. And then on the other extreme are those who say almost nobody goes to the other way of existing called heaven, because the gate is so narrow, few are chosen, many are called, and on and on and on. But you know, Jesus was talking to this man who spoke to him from the crowd, and he speaks to each one of us as individuals. In other words, mind your own business. Be concerned with cooperating with God in the working out of your own salvation, with fear and trembling, as St. Paul says. The gate is narrow, after all. It has to be that way, because there are so many ways we can go. The narrowness of the gate means that it involves a particular relationship with a particular person who is the Son of God, among all the millions of other things that could happen. There's just this one. And of course, that's a narrow gate. So it requires our exercise of free will to preemptively direct our lives so that we are heading towards that gate, so that we are going the way that is the right way among all the countless other ways that are not the right way. In other words, we don't just drift into heaven. We get there by consciously choosing heaven in the way that we live. We don't just go through the motions. In other words, there is an integrity. Our words must match our actions, and our actions must match our words, so that when they see us, they get what they see. That's why Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter." And there are many who he does not know. Not that God is somehow ignorant of them, but he does not know them in the deeper biblical sense of a conjugal union. they have chosen to not enter into that union. The narrowness of the gate is that narrowness of relationship which exists between two people, excludes from every other point any other relationship among all the millions of other possible relationships which would hinder the one relationship, one-on-one with God. That's what it's all about, one-on-one with God. Not that we ignore our brothers and sisters, but that our primary focus must be on heading towards that narrow gate. And along the way, bringing others with us, yes. We're not in this alone. It just means that we don't need to be preoccupied with other people's fates, but only with our own. We ultimately are the only one responsible for the salvation of our own soul. And that is the focus, which must weed out all the noise and distractions of life around us. Our focus in our words and in our actions must be on Jesus Christ. And then we will help our brothers and sisters when they see that there is an integrity in our lives. That's attractive. That will draw others along with us. But we must keep our eyes on Jesus. We must know him in the deepest biblical sense of the word. We must know not only his actions, but his very person. We are called, after all, to become one with the Creator of the universe. We are invited into the very life of God. That is why the Father said that God became man so that man could become God. And that of all the millions of things a man could become is the one thing that he was created for. A narrow gate indeed. Amen.